China wants to kick out foreign computers and software, but the move could hurt China the most. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. A report this week in the Financial Times suggests that China might be moving to ban all foreign computer hardware and software from government agencies and public organizations within 3 years. Now, the U.S. has also banned Chinese manufacturers ZTE and Huawei from U.S. telecom infrastructure, but this would be a much broader move. China's move could hurt companies like Intel or Dell or Microsoft or HP. But what's tricky here is that China doesn't really have the technology to replace a lot of the software it's trying to kick out. Rob Atkinson is president of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. It's a D.C.-based think tank. And first, I asked him, how big a deal is this?
Well, the key thing is, first of all, are they serious, which it looks like they are. The second question is, are they going to be successful? If they are successful, it is a big deal because the government controls a large share of the economy. It's not just the Chinese government itself, but it's all the state-owned enterprises. And if they extend this towards them, that's a huge loss to U.S. companies, both at the hardware and the software level. It's not clear that they're going to be able to do it, but if they do it, it'll mean significantly less business in China for U.S. technology companies.
Why, when you say it's not clear whether they'd be able to do it, why wouldn't they be able to? Because there just aren't any alternatives?
Well, they have more alternatives on the hardware side. For example, they have Lenovo, which is a computer maker, and Huawei, they make servers and computers. But it's on the software side that China has long been weak and continues to be weak. They don't really have a viable enterprise software program system like Oracle or a personal computer operating system like Microsoft. So if they try to substitute those with Chinese companies, they're gonna basically have inferior technology for many, many years. And they may just not care about that, but that is going to be one of the harms they're going to get to their economy if they go down that path.
And then China has claimed that this, you know, move would be rooted in national security concerns, much the way the U.S. has avoided Chinese companies like Huawei. Do you believe those are the motivations here?
If anyone believes that, I have a bridge to sell you. There's just simply no way that's the motivation. The Chinese play that card ever since Snowden. They know that's an effective card for them to defend what is essentially a protectionist agenda. There's simply no way that this is a national security issue. Other countries all around the world use U.S. Operating systems and other kinds of software with absolutely no problem. This is just a ruse by the Chinese to defend protectionism.
And then how much would a move like this actually, I mean, you said that, you know, for a brief period of time, things would really be inefficient or delayed because China simply doesn't have the software infrastructure. Long term, how much would this help the Chinese tech industry? And then is there a possibility it becomes a global technology powerhouse?
So the Chinese strategy is a pretty simple one, really, when you think about it. And they use it in every advanced technology industry. The first is to acquire foreign technology by hook or by crook, oftentimes by crook. The second, once they have that technology, is to build up their domestic champions through things like big subsidies, limiting foreign competitors. And that's what they're doing in this case, limiting foreign competitors. Once they get that, though, the next step is for them to what they call going out. And they then subsidize their companies to go out to third markets like Kazakhstan or, you know, Bolivia or whatever it might be. They're not going to attack us in our market. They're not going to attack us in Europe or Japan initially. But I wouldn't put it past them to use the subsidies in the One Belt, One Road program they have to tie those subsidies to buying Chinese software or Chinese computers for their government agencies in those countries. They're a long, long way off, though, from ever being able to challenge U.S. software companies. They're just not very good at it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they're not going to try, and doesn't mean they might not be successful in some lower-income developing countries.
Rob Atkinson leads the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. The FT reported that China's goal is to replace tens of millions of devices, starting with 30% of computers and software by the end of next year, 50% the year after, and the final 20% by the year 2022, at which point the country will have had to basically reinvent Windows. And now for some related links. There's a little more reading on this story over at our website, marketplacetech.org, including some stories that are not behind the Financial Times paywall. TechCrunch points out that moving onto a completely homegrown ecosystem could actually hamper all kinds of efforts in China, including research and development into other technologies like artificial intelligence, because many tech software tools are now basically global standards, and it's hard to escape them or build alternatives. For example, earlier this year, the U.S. banned American companies from doing business with Huawei, meaning that Huawei might not be able to keep using the authorized version of Android on its smartphones. Huawei said, "No problem. We're working on our own mobile operating system." But the company seems very far away from success. And that's just a mobile operating system, let alone Windows or Salesforce or cloud management software or even like Excel. But if China does succeed in creating its own parallel and completely self-contained tech ecosystem that competes with the U.S. tech economy on a global scale, well, this chapter of economic history just got a lot more interesting. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Laugh all you want, but Excel is really complicated.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.